you ever wondered why God gives us celebrities? Why God gives us people like the Beatles and Dorothy over here? Have you ever wondered that? I have. And have you ever wondered why it was a big deal that Jesus Christ came in anonymity and that you and I are people of no reputation? Contrast that with the fame of people like the Beatles, or I've been talking to you about Tom Hanks lately. We're looking at Dorothy here. And so it's so interesting because God uses contrasts now. And yet there's part of us, maybe I should just speak for myself. Part of us likes to keep up on celebrities. There's something about us that's fascinated with fame. Maybe I should just speak for myself. So I will. There's something about me that is really entranced by these people who, even though they're ordinary people, they're flesh and blood, like this Paul Cole guy I talked to you about yesterday. Oh, I realize now I should have pointed him out with the laser capability that I have. I have a laser light on the bunker light, and I should have used that light to point out Paul Cole. I didn't do too good of a job. But you have this guy, and he appears on a record album, a famous record album. And from that point on, he takes on somewhat of an aura that he didn't have before. Whether it's fair, unearned, whatever you want to say, there's something about the guy now. That when you see him, it's like, geez, this guy was at Abbey Road when the Beatles walked across Abbey Road. He was there. He saw them. I think it would be a similar situation when you meet someone who's epically famous. For instance, I have friends in Indiana who are personal friends with Neil Armstrong. And so I saw photographs of this, my friend, and Neil Armstrong playing golf. And don't you think that if you were to meet Neil Armstrong, you're shaking his hand, you would think, geez, this guy was on the moon. There is some aura about that person. It's fame. It's glory. It's glory. I shook the hand of Jesse Owens. It was in Canton, Ohio, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame Mayor's Breakfast. And Jesse Owens, at that time, might have been, taking a guess, 72. He was an old man, and he had a cane. He was slumped over in a chair. And somebody pointed him out to me and said, "That's Jesse Owens." And I shook the great man's hand. This was a man whose hand Hitler refused to shake. The 1936 Berlin Olympics, am I getting that right? 36? Yeah, I think so. He shamed the Aryan race. This black man was not supposed to win. And he won 4 or 5 gold medals. And Hitler, who was the Chancellor of Germany, who was supposed to congratulate every gold medal winner at the games, refused to shake the hand of Jesse Owens. I shook the hand of Jesse Owens. And it meant something to me. So it's so interesting. I think that God put this in humanity to be in awe of people. And even our Apostle Paul says, "Honor to whom honor is due, glory to whom glory is due." In these days of apostasy, in these days of everything being backwards, we give honor and glory to the most ridiculous people, like the Kardashians, or these people who have their 15 minutes of fame on reality television. Even Paul Cole, even though I think it's amazing because of the circumstance and because it speaks of a spiritual principle that God knows what he's doing with us and he puts us exactly where we're supposed to be. It's ridiculous to celebrate a man who just happened to be standing where a famous album cover was being shot of a group of people who were merely rock musicians. Big deal. The Beatles played rock and roll. So as impressed as I am with the Beatles, I have to back up sometimes and say, why am I so impressed with the Beatles? Because they're rock musicians. That's it. Paul McCartney would have been an electrician. He was studying to be an electrician, and that's what he would have done if he had not met John Lennon in 1957 at the church festival. So all these chance meetings to make celebrities in the present wicked eon. And yet it is all a hint. It's not worthless. Don't throw it out, because it is a hint of the glory you and I will assume. Because this is what happens. Jesus said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that the current men of reputation in this eon are being discarded. They're going away. The Beatles are going away. Dorothy has already gone away. She still lives forever in celluloid, but for the eon, I should say, not forever. But the shift I've been talking to you about in the eons, there is also going to be a shift in personnel. There is also going to be a shift in glory. And we have a picture of it in earthly glory, because we see our Lord standing before Pontius Pilate. And there is a contrastive photo. If we could take that photo, boy, would I like to go back in time at certain places and see what's going on and actually witness a momentous event. And there was a momentous event. The ruler of the universe is in humble subjection to the ruler of Rome, the representative of the rule of Rome. He wasn't Caesar, but he was an emissary of Caesar in Jerusalem, the procurator, Pontius Pilate. And Jesus said that the last are going to be first and the first are going to be last. But here's my point. If there's going to be a switch of places, then there's nothing wrong with the glory or the fame. See, the glory and the fame isn't wrong. It's just misplaced. It's just turned around. It's a polar opposite of what it needs to be and what it's going to be. But yet it is a picture God has given us to give us a clue as to our fame and glory. I'm not saying this in a self-exalting way. I'm simply giving God his due. It's God who says that he is going to give us glory. Even our Lord said in John 17, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the earth was. And there are verses that speak of our glory and that we are to be glorified. Whom he calls, Romans 10, whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he chooses beforehand, these he calls, these he justifies, these he glorifies. It's a series of magnificent, stupendous events that are going to happen to us. Some of them have already happened. Where are my scriptures? Some of them have already happened, namely the choosing. He chooses us. Then he chooses us beforehand. Then he calls us on this earth while we're alive. Then he justifies us. He tells us how wonderful we are in his sight because of the sacrifice of his son. And all these things are past, or at least present. We're enjoying these things now. But then there is a future thing. And it's in Romans 8, not Romans 10. Bring out the bunker light, Zender. All right. Well, that's the laser. Okay. I'm in Romans 8, verse 29. You are called. This is good. Let me just start with verse 28. Now we are aware that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God and who are called according to the purpose. Remember, we were talking about the aeonian purpose. That whom he foreknew, he knew you beforehand. You didn't exist with him beforehand, but in his foreknowledge, of course, he sees you. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand. Marks you, just like David was designated beforehand to be the king of Israel, even before he assumed the throne. He designates beforehand also to be conformed to the image of his son. So we're getting a sneak peek into what's going to happen. We're going to be conformed to the image of his son. How outrageous is that? For him to be the firstborn among many brethren. Now here it is, verse 30. Now whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. And whom he calls, these he justifies also. And whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. We don't think about this enough because we're so humbled we've been taught in the Christian religion to speak humbly of ourselves. Well, we're not glorifying ourselves. It's God who's going to glorify us. Jesus said, Lord, let me glorify myself. No, he didn't. He said, God, glorify me. Glorify me. You glorify me with the glory I had with you. And so the celebrity of this world, I told you I was only going to do a one-day sidetrack, didn't I? It's kind of turned into 2 days, hasn't it? Because this theme has been banging around in my head, this idea of human fame, human fortune, human glory. We have fame, fortune, and glory, ladies and gentlemen, but we don't have it here. We have it in the next life. And yet, the fame, fortune, and glory we see here is meant by God to picture, even in a dim way, the fame, riches, and glory we are going to have. There's nothing wrong with fame, riches, and glory. What's wrong is when it's given to the, quote, wrong people, not to the rightful owners. There's nothing wrong with humility, but there's something, quote, wrong with it when the Son of God is trashed, is humbled, is thought to be the lowest creature on the planet. How unlikely is that? But there is to be a great shift, and we are in the beginnings of it. And there is to be a turn where the first will be last, that is, those who are kings and billionaires and celebrities now, they will be last, and those who are nothing now, those of no reputation, we shall be first.